ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। जय जय श्री चैतन्य, जय नित्यानंदा, जय द्वैत चंद्र, जय गौर भक्त वृंदा। जय जय श्री चैतन्य, जय नित्यानंदा, जय द्वैत चंद्र, जय गौर भक्त वृंदा। सो टुडे वी आर डिस्कसिंग फ्रॉम श्री चैतन्य चरितामृता मध्य लीला चैप्टर 19 टेक्स्ट नंबर 6 ऑनवर्ड्स। दिस इज चैप्टर टाइटल्ड लॉर्ड श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु इंस्ट्रक्ट्स श्रील रूप गोस्वामी। श्री रूप गोसाई तबे नौकाते भरिया, आपणार घरे आइला बहुदना लाना। एट दिस टाइम श्री रूप गोस्वामी रिटर्न्ड होम, टेकिंग विद हिम लार्ज क्वांटिटीज ऑफ रिचेस लोडेड इन बोट्स। ब्राह्मण वैष्णवे धीला तारा अर्ध धाने, एक चौथी धाना धीला कुटुंबा भरणे। Shri Rupa Goswami divided the wealth that he brought back home. He gave 50% in charity to Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and 25% to his relatives. Purport. This is a practical example of how one should divide his money and retire from household life. 50% of one's money should be distributed to qualified and pure devotees of the Lord. 25% may be given to family members and 25% may be kept for personal use in case of emergency. Text number 8. Danda banda lagi chauti sanchaya karila, bhala bala viprastane stapya rakhila. He kept one-fourth of his wealth with a respectable brahmana. He kept this for his personal safety because he was expecting some legal complications. Text number 9. Gaude rakhila mudra dhasa hajare rakhe mudhi ghare. He deposited 10,000 coins which were later spent by Sri Sanatana Goswami in the custody of a local Bengali grocer. Text number 10. श्री रूप सुनील प्रभु नीलाद्री गामना, वनपते याबेन प्रभु श्री वृंदावना। श्री रूप गोस्वामी हर्ड दैट श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु हैड रिटर्न्ड टू जगन्नाथपुरी एंड वाज प्रिपेयरिंग टू गो टू वृंदावना थ्रू द फॉरेस्ट। टेक्स्ट नंबर 11। रूप गोसाई नीला चले फाताइला धुई जना, प्रभु यबे वृंदावना करेना घमना। श्री रूप गोस्वामी सेंट टू पीपल टू जगन्नाथपुरी टू फाइंड आउट व्हेन श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु वुड डिपार्ट फॉर वृंदावन। टेक्स्ट नंबर 12। शीघ्रासी मोरे तांद्र धीबा समाचरा, सुनिया तद अनुरूप खरीबा व्यवहार। श्री रूप गोस्वामी टोल्ड द टू मेन, you are to return quickly and let me know when he will depart. Then I shall make the proper arrangements. Text number 13. Eta sanatana goshai bhave mane mana, raja more priti kare se mora bhandana. While Sanatana Goswami was in Gaudadesh, he was thinking, the Nawab is very pleased with me. I certainly have an obligation. टेक्स्ट नंबर 14। कोना माते राजा यदि मोरे क्रुदाहया, तबे अव्यहति हया करीलुं निश्चया। इफ द नवाब समहाउ और अदर बिकम्स एंग्री विथ मी, आई शैल बी ग्रेटली रिलीव्ड, दैट इज माई कंक्लूजन। टेक्स्ट नंबर 15। अश्वत्येर चद्मकरी राहे निजगरे, Rajakarya Chadila na yaya Raja Dware. On the pretext of bad health, Sanatana Goswami remained home. Thus he gave up government service and did not go to the royal court. Text number 16. Lobhi kayasta ghana raja karya kare apne swagrahe kare shastre ravichare. The greedy masters of his clerical secretarial staff performed the government duties while Sanatana personally remained home and discussed the revealed scriptures. Purport. Sanatana Goswami was the minister in charge of the government secretariat, and his assistants, the undersecretaries and clerks, all belonged to the Kayastha community. Formerly, the Kayasthas belonged to the clerical and secretarial staff of the government, and later, if one served in such a post, he was called a Kayastha. Eventually, if a person could not identify himself as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, he used to introduce himself as a Kayastha to get a wealthy and honorable position. In Bengal, it is said that if one cannot give the identity of his caste, he calls himself a Kayastha. On the whole, Kayastha community is a mixture of all castes, and it especially includes those engaged in clerical or secretarial work. Materially, such people are always busy occupying responsible government posts. When Sanatana Goswami was relaxing and feeling inclined to retire from government service, many Kayasthas on his secretarial staff were very eager to occupy his post. In this regard, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura states that when Sanatana Goswami was a government minister and the Kayasthas who assisted him saw that he was reluctant to continue, they became very expert in their duties. Sanatana Goswami was a Brahmana belonging to the Saraswata Brahmana community. It is said that when he resigned, a subordinate named Purandara Khan, who was a Kayastha, occupied his post. So we will discuss from text number 6 to text number 16 today. And before we start our discussion, let us try to invoke the prayers of and take the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. So, we are going to discuss from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter number 19, from text 6 through 16. This is the topic under the title, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Instructs Srila Rupa Goswami. Actually, this particular chapter is one of the important chapters in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Mahaprabhu is going to spend 10 days in Prayag giving instruction to Rupa Goswami in detail. Our entire sampradaya, basically aligned to the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and one of the pioneers of preaching Mahaprabhu's Siddhanta was Sripad Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. So in our movement, we are able to understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. We are able to glorify Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. We are able to participate and take darshan of various pastime places in Sri Vrindavan Dham. They are all due to Sri Pad Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. They had personally taken the responsibility to revive the Krishna consciousness that was lost in due course of time. And Mahaprabhu had personally inspired them to take up this Sankirtan movement forward. So this particular chapter is very special, where we will see multiple educational points for each of us in the progressive path of Krishna consciousness. The first and foremost lesson that we learn from this chapter is the eagerness that Sri Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami have shown in dedicating and surrendering to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and eventually following in his footsteps. So we will see how Sri Rupa Goswami has done a very, very systematical way of committing himself to the process of Krishna consciousness. It is a message for each and every one of us to learn how do we practice Krishna consciousness and how do we execute and how do we commit ourselves to this process of Krishna consciousness. Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami actually went and met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Ramkeli. Ramkeli is a place in West Bengal. So they had a personal meeting with him. That time they were working under Nawab Hussain Shah as very, very senior ministers. And they were so intelligent that the Nawab Hussain Shah does not want to leave them. They were so integral part of his ministry that they personally won over Nawab Hussain Shah's confidence. After the meeting with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Ramkeli, Rupa Goswami developed a desire that it is enough of him to be working. Now he wants to dedicate himself to the preaching movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he came back and he said to Nawab Hussain Shah that he would like to retire from his job and he wanted the king to relinquish him of all the responsibilities. The king, because he was so satisfied with Rupa Goswami, I mean that time he was called Sakar Malik is Sanatana Goswami and Dhabir Das is Rupa Goswami. So he actually said that, okay, fine, I will relieve you. And he relieved him from the responsibility. So Rupa Goswami had a lot of his accumulated salaries and whatever financial support he received from Nawab Hussain Shah. He very nicely distributed, and Krishnadas Gaviraj Goswami explained how Rupa Goswami did that. And he planned in such a way that he could very smoothly relinquish his responsibility and join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this particular 11 verses that we just read today, so we saw how Rupa Goswami is making his plan to wind up his ministerial responsibility and eventually join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So as I said, our first lesson from this particular series of verses is to see how to develop eagerness, and the eagerness that we develop, how do we translate them in action. Most of the time, we practitioners of Krishna consciousness process, we generally get eagerness. we generally get enthusiastic. But the place where we fail, or the place where we need help, or the place where we need direction, or the place where we need support, is to translate that enthusiasm in our daily actions. Even though enthusiasm and eagerness are the first two steps in our beginning of Krishna consciousness, but if we are enthusiastic but does not implement our enthusiasm, does not translate the enthusiasm into action, then we will be just a daydreamers. So Shripa Rupa Goswami is demonstrating here very nicely how to convert the enthusiasm and eagerness into an action. So our first lesson today is that even though we have been hearing Krishna consciousness for quite a period in time, we need to develop a sense of surrender. We need to develop a sense of responsibility to take forward this Krishna consciousness program to an extent that we ourselves get delivered and win more souls to Krishna. So Rupa Goswami, when he decided to join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he did not do anything abruptly. He did not just hodgepodge way wind up things. He very systematically, this is an education that he taught. So each and every one of us, when we are taking up some great responsibility, we are taking up some important responsibility, we need to understand that it is our duty to see to that what we are currently doing are properly executed. So for example, when somebody is having some specific service and responsibilities, he need to see to that it is properly settled, handed over, before we take up an additional responsibility. This is one approach. We will see different types of devotees in this Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. Somebody is really eccentric, somebody is really enthusiastic enough, somebody is so much so surrendered that he just, you know, move on and let the Supreme Lord and his followers handle it. But in this case, Rupa Goswami is helping especially grihasthas, especially working men, especially people, congregation devotees who have been regularly associated with Krishna consciousness movement, and he is trying to teach us how to handle your enthusiasm and translate them into action. So one of the main areas which comes to us when it comes to surrendering ourselves to this process is how do we do our funds management? How do we do our financial planning? How do we do in such a way that you are not fanatically implementing your surrender, and rather at the same time we are very exemplary in what we are doing? So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explained that Rupa Goswami gave 50% of the accumulated salary in charity. He gave it to Brahmanas, he gave it to Vaishnavas, he gave it to all the first class men, and so that they are very nicely taken care. It is the duty of a grihastha, because in the Varnashrama system, ideally speaking, grihastha is the only member who is legitimately allowed to make money, earn money, work for earning money. Brahmachari, Vanaprastha and Sannyasis are supposed to be taken care by grihasthas. Brahmacharis are supposed to be the Guru's ashram, and Guru is supposed to be receiving Dakshina from Brahmachari who beg alms for him, and Vanaprastha is anyway retired. So grihastha is the only member who is socially active, takes care of the social needs, emotional needs, commercial needs, as well as spiritual needs of the Varnashrama system. And especially grihasthas who are devotees practicing this Krishna consciousness program, here Rupa Goswami explained how they need to organize their funds. It's a bit interesting and a subjective phenomena, because different people have different needs, different people have different priorities, and different people have, in the course of their life, picked up different commitments, because of which sometimes these instructions sounds irrelevant or impractical. But if somebody very consciously put an endeavor, if somebody very consciously try to learn this process of Krishna consciousness, then they will be able to slowly elevate their consciousness, slowly elevate their position to an extent that they will also be able to participate, they will also be able to subscribe to this ideology. So many times, whenever we receive such an instruction in Vedic literature, we immediately think impractical. We immediately think this is not possible. We immediately think that this is out of context. We immediately think that this is out of syllabus and not relevant to this context. But we need to know that Krishna and all the great sadhus, they have taken extreme care. They have definitely thought about all the possibilities and presented some solution which is relevant to not only this current context, to the context of the next 10,000 years. Srila Prabhupada has said that this Krishna consciousness movement will go on for the next 10,000 years. My books are the law books for the next 10,000 years. So, which means Srila Prabhupada has personally invested time and energy in writing his wonderful purports, so that it is not only relevant for us in the current context, it is also relevant for the time to come and generations to come. So when Mrigari's pastime came up, when Narada Muni told Mrigari that you please throw a bow and arrow and sit in one place and start chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare, and you just focus on chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, I will send you a necessary food. When somebody read them, they think, how is this practically possible? Let us be practical, Prabhu. Let us be very pragmatic over here. But was it not pragmatic enough? It was very, very practical. Because when Mrigari obeyed, when Mrigari surrendered to the instructions of Narada Muni, it so happened that he was filled with so much of his necessary needs that he was not sure how to manage the surplus. So Narada Muni, when he gave his instruction, he also made an advice that if you get surplus, you please distribute, don't worry about tomorrow. So he exactly applied what Narada Muni asked him to do. When Hiranyakashipu made a prayer, Hiranyakashipu did not think that he will be killed by anybody, because the kind of boon that he had asked for, it was seemingly impossible. But we saw in the history how Narsingadev appeared. So like that, different episodes, whenever we read them, we see that it is not practically possible. But then, at the end, when we know what had happened, we knew how Krishna consciousness is beyond our logical understanding. It is a fourth dimension that is incomprehensible by materialistic science. So when Rupa Goswami made his approach, direction of dovetailing 50% of his earnings for charity, he distributed 25% of his earnings to all his family members, and he kept 25% as savings for his future. I would not ponder on to the depth of this particular financial planning. We can have a separate discussion only on this, because that's a very nice analysis already been done by different devotees on this particular instruction, how to apply them in our daily life. Let's get on with this Leela and the discussion today, and Krishna willing, in the future sometime we can discussion on how a grihastha, when he is earning X amount of money, can emulate this particular instruction. Is it applicable for all classes of men? Is it applicable for only one specific class of men? Is it applicable for all salary range? Which and all relevance, we can discuss it at a different point in time. But in principle, there are three categories Rupa Goswami teaches. One is charity, second is taking care of the family responsibilities, and third is future needs. So at least this much common sense we need to apply that every grihastha should give some portion of his hard-earned earning in charity for his own purification and also for the upliftment of the society. The remaining two generally people will do, but the first part that Rupa Goswami demonstrated by giving in charity is not something which is very common, because we think giving in charity is something that is, even if we try to give something very miserly, and sometimes we are having some ulterior motives when we give some charity. So devotional service, when we do devotional service, we need to eliminate our ulterior motive and try to do with utmost simplicity and surrender, so that the purpose for which we are doing is actually accomplished. So with this background, I would like to discuss some set of lessons that we are learning from this particular series of verses. The first lesson is eagerness and enthusiasm. So each and every one of us, we need to inculcate this eagerness and enthusiasm in our life. And eagerness and enthusiasm, if you see in this context, came from a very, very important context of coming in contact with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal meeting. So when Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they took the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so personally, and they got so much inspired, and immediately they surrendered, connected, and made some plans to participate in Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. So our eagerness will also get developed when we come in contact with this Krishna consciousness program. Our eagerness will also get developed when we participate in this Sankirtana movement. Our enthusiasm will also increase when we come in contact with devotional association. So our eagerness and enthusiasm is something that we need to constantly check. Utsaha nischaya dhairyat tat tat karma pravartanat sangat yagat satavate sabbir bhaktir prasidyati. Every great job, every great service, every great transformation has happened not from directly action. It happened from a very, very deep contemplation, eagerness and enthusiasm. So before we jump into any action, we need to crave, we need to seek, we need to reflect within ourselves how much we have got developed an enthusiasm and eagerness. So utsaha is a first symptom or a first principle for our growing Krishna consciousness. Utsaha nischaya dairya. In that, Rupa Goswami explains utsaha. We see this similar situation in Srila Prabhupada's life. So Srila Prabhupada met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj in 1922, and he started International Society for Krishna Consciousness in 1966. What did Srila Prabhupada do for 44 years? This 44 years of Srila Prabhupada in this movement, or 44 years from the time he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj to starting ISKCON, it was not that he was sitting idle. He was developing his project, and he was preparing himself for transforming people of this world. So it takes a character, it takes a commitment, it takes a complete amount of surrender to the instructions of spiritual master to go ahead and do the preaching program. So for developing enthusiasm and eagerness, we need to come in contact with spiritual association, and the spiritual association will help you develop that further, and also it help you sow the seeds and remove the weeds. So Srila Prabhupada first met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, and for the first meeting onwards, his eagerness began. Just before that meeting, his eagerness was not on Krishna consciousness. He was interested in freedom movement. He was interested in Netaji Subhash Chandra Bose freedom struggle, fight. But when he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, when he heard Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, when he took Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj in, personal advice to his heart, then transformation started happening in his life. And this transformation from 1922, it kept on growing and growing and growing and growing. And today we are all sitting and talking about this Krishna Katha is only because of that particular meeting Srila Prabhupada had in 1922. So we, each and every one of us, somebody has sown the seed. We need to keep the seed alive by this spiritual Sangha and keep this enthusiasm and eagerness alive. This is the first lesson. The second lesson is that if this enthusiasm that we have gained, how do we translate? So this translation of enthusiasm into action. There is a book called Good to Great. So in the book, I mean it's a management book. In that, one of the important points that is, you know, dealt is that for somebody to do something great, the obstacle is good things. So long as we are constantly thinking about how good we are doing, we will not be able to do some great things. Similarly, some of us, or most of us, may have a complacency, may have a tendency to be satisfied with good things that we are doing. So Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami had been doing good job, very good job, very well paid job, very nicely, safely settled in their life in terms of their, you know, lifestyle. So they were having a good things, but when they met Mahaprabhu, they wanted to do great things. So each and every one of us in our life also are doing at some level some good things, or maybe doing good things, or maybe doing something which we are satisfied with. But when we come in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process, we need to start thinking, how do I contribute from good to great? So that becomes our enthusiasm. And in that process of starting implementing them, the principle that we need to remember, the principle that we need to apply is that in the process of trying to do some great things, I should not kill the good things. I should settle good things in such a way that it is great for somebody else. This is a very important lesson and very important tips for all the individual grihasthas or individual preachers or individual members who want to do something great for Srila Prabhupada. At the same time, they are not able to give up their good things. For sure, their struggle in giving up good things will be so difficult because good things are anyway good. People will say, oh, yeah, everything is going on very nicely. Why does he want to do something else? But for him to do something else, a great thing, some good has to be relinquished. And the way good has to be relinquished is being taught by Sri Rupa Goswami. How he has done that? He made sure things are settled well. So when we do good to great, the Siddhanta that is being spoken about, or the principle that is being spoken about, is that what is good for you is great for somebody else. So it is a duty of every preacher, it is a duty of every practitioner, it is a duty of every sadhaka, that if you intend to contribute something great for this preaching movement, please don't kill your current responsibilities abruptly. It might be an anti-preaching, it might put off the other members. Rather, give this responsibility to another member. May it be additional preaching initiative, may it be new preaching initiative, may it be something that you are stepping into in your life. Everybody have got different gradations, everybody have got different responsibilities. So if you are currently doing some, you know, good things, that will be great for somebody else. So please, best, you know, impart him with the knowledge and enable him or her to do that service so that they grow from their good to great whilst you are pursuing from your good to great. We all have got two sets of responsibilities. One is conditional responsibility, another one is constitutional responsibility. Our conditional responsibility should be executed in such a way that our constitutional responsibilities are seamlessly going. Conditional responsibility, it is such that when we have assumed grihastha life, we have responsibility towards our family, our society. We have a lot of conditional responsibilities. And these responsibilities should be done in such a way to glorify the Lord, and eventually we may have to move on towards our constitutional responsibility. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada writes in one of the purport, in Prithu Maharaj's episode, Srila Prabhupada says, each and every one of us should take care of our materialistic life in such a way, and he is giving a very good example, very good analogy. The analogy that he is giving is that a businessman is using his car for commuting from his house to work. And for him to safely, conveniently commute, he needs to be conscious of how much gas he has got in the car, how much petrol, how much fuel. He needs to be cognizant of the fuel level that his car is having, or is aware about it. Not only fuel level, how the car's condition is. If the tire is not flat, if the car is in good condition, some general information about the car, so that the car is functioning enough for his commute. So Srila Prabhupada writes there, if a businessman spends full time of his day in seeing that his car is in good condition, then he will actually execute his own business. He needs to utilize that time to keep the car's maintenance in good condition, so much so that he can peacefully travel from his house to work. And his consciousness about maintenance of the car is that much only. Beyond that time, he needs to spend his energy in doing his actual business for which he is commuting. And Prabhupada is giving this analogy. This human form of life is an important vehicle. This human form of life is an important instrument. This human form of life is an important tool which we utilize for getting self-realized. But if this human form of life is only used to keep this body fit and fine and healthy and nice only, and we don't think beyond that point in time, we are simply wasting our time. Or if the human form of life, we try to lead a very reckless life and does not take care of this body nicely, that also is not going to help us in this journey of Krishna consciousness. So we need to keep ourselves, keep our body, keep our livelihood so healthy and wealthy enough so that we can function in our devotional life peacefully. So the second advice or second lesson that we learn is that in the process of implementing our enthusiasm, we need to see to that our conditional responsibilities are very well maintained to the barest minimum, to the limited time that we spend, and major of our time should be focusing on Krishna consciousness lifestyle or Krishna consciousness principles. That is why I always say Krishna consciousness is not part of our life. Krishna consciousness is a way of life. Srila Prabhupada did not want us to practice Krishna consciousness in a portion of our day. Srila Prabhupada always wanted Krishna consciousness should be our way of living. So the second principle that I am talking is, when you are applying good to great, please make sure that when you are doing great, you always try to do that the good things that you are doing is passed on, is very nicely taken care for by somebody for whom that will be a great job. So this way what happens is that we are responsible, at the same time we are moving, making progress. And while doing so, importance is given to the body, to the external things, so much so that the businessman gives importance to the maintenance of the car. And in the entire day of his doing business of 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, he spends maybe 15 minutes or half an hour to keep the car in good condition, or remembering about the car and checking about the car's maintenance status. Rest all the time he is giving for taking care of his business. Similarly, in our own lifestyle, we need to take some care, some attention, some importance to keep this body fit and fine and healthy. And remaining all the time, we need to make sure that it is utilized for the pleasure of the Lord and for winning more souls to Krishna. This, even if it means you're working, you're cooking, you're talking, you're singing, you're preaching, you're doing whatever, that is why it is called Krishna conscious way of life. Srila Prabhupada says, if somebody wants to sleep well, to keep his body fit and fine, so that he can preach nicely, that sleeping is considered as Krishna consciousness also. But if somebody wants to sleep for having a sense gratifier life, then he is no better than an animal. So the second principle that we are learning today is to understand how to implement this enthusiasm into action. So for that we learned good to great, and as well as the comparison between how utilize this human body versus our consciousness for serving the Supreme Lord. The third principle that we learn in this particular 11 slokas is that, as I said before, charity to the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas supersedes all other necessary things in life. In a sense, that if the earning member of the Varnashrama does not inculcate the habit of taking care of Brahmanas and cows, then his earning will bind him to this material world. So it is not just a need, it's just not a external thing. It is a need and it is a must for every earning member in the Varnashrama system that he need to give an amount in charity to take care of Vaishnavas, Brahmanas, cows and preaching projects. It is extremely important. And this sense of charity, this sense of responsibility should be inculcated not when we become an adult. It should be inculcated right from the age of 5. We need to teach our children, we need to teach in our education system, we need to bring into our regular routine practice that we need to understand that all that we acquire, all that we accumulate does not belong to us. We are caretakers, and hence the actual enjoyer or the beneficiary is the Supreme Lord and the servants of the Supreme Lord. Hence we need to have a sense of ownership, sense of responsibility to take care of Vaishnavas, Brahmanas and preaching projects. So this becomes an integral journey for us to become a devotee. If somebody has not inculcated this habit of charity, if somebody has not inculcated the habit of, you know, taking care of Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, he will not be able to be a successful grihastha, because the money that is, you know, that he is earning will be a reason for his entanglement. So the third principle that we learned today is that we need to start giving in charity. There is a devotee by name Purandara Das. This Purandara Das, he is from Karnataka. He is a very great saint. This Purandara Das, he used to be called Navakoti Narayanan. So this Navakoti Narayana, in his entire town, people used to call him Navakoti Narayana, because he used to be a very, very rich person, and in his house, on top of his house, he used to have 9 kalashas. So each kalasha represent one crore is 10 million. So he has so much of wealth. So for every 10 million coins, gold coins or rupees or whatever denomination you may say, he used to have 1 kalasha in his house. So he kept on doing business in such a miserly way. It was so miserly that he wouldn't give anything to anybody in charity. And he would not spend for him also. He used to go on trying to accumulate wealth for his own future enjoyment. And in the process of accumulating, he accumulated 9 crore, which means 90 million gold coins. So everybody used to call him as Navakoti Narayanan. So this Navakoti Narayana, he was is a Brahmana, very miserly Brahmana, and he was doing a business, trading. So when he was doing a training, one day the Lord came to his house. I mean, they came to his shop. So he said that in the form of a poor Brahmana, and he said, "My dear sir," he was asking Navakoti Narayana, "that I want to do Upanayana Samskar to my son. Can you please give something in charity?" So the Navakoti Narayana said that, "No, no, I will not give anything in charity. Go, go, get it, get it." So then the Lord went to his house, Navakoti Narayana's house. And when he went to his house, his wife is a very, very nice devotee, and she wants to do a lot of service to Vaishnavas and Sadhus. So he gave, she gave. She thought that her husband would not, you know, approve of it. So she thought, you know, but she wanted to give some charity, so she gave her two earrings. She had a diamond earring. She gave two earrings to Navakoti Narayana and said that, "You please, you know, take this and do your son's Upanayana Samskar." So in the evening, when Navakoti Narayana came home, he saw his wife's earrings were missing. So he asked his wife, "Where's your earrings?" So she said that, "I was taking an oil bath. I must have misplaced somewhere. So he asked, "Go and get it." So she went and prayed to Krishna. And, "Krishna, I gave it in good faith, and now it is missing. And please help me what I am supposed to do." So she said that, "I kept misplaced and, this and that." I don't remember the full story. This is a very, very wonderful Acharya, one of a very great saint in South India. So finally, he realized, I do not know the connect of that, how he realized, but finally he realized that Lord Narayana appeared to his wife and gave him darshan, and she had a good fortune in giving the earrings to the Lord, and she gave in charity, and he got really some transformation within himself, and he started composing songs, and from that time onwards he started giving everything in charity, and he became Purandara Das, and he constantly used to glorify and sing on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he used to go and beg for alms. He used to see a lot of miserly people who wouldn't want to give anything for the Supreme Lord. So he used to glorify the Lord, saying that, "Thank you so much for making me a beggar, because now I am realizing what I used to be, how rude I used to be, how cruel I used to be, how ignorant I used to be." And finally, he is writing a lot of songs glorifying the importance of giving in charity. So the point I want to try is that it is extremely important for every earning member in the society to give in charity, to take care of cows, take care of brahmanas, and take care of preaching programs in all the temples, because the Lord should be taken care, cows should be taken care, and brahmanas are supposed to be taken care. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained that it is the duty of the king to take care of five people. Number one, brahmanas. Number two, cows. Number three, children. Number four, diseased people. And number five, women. Diseased or old age people. And number five, women. So these five people should be given priority and should be taken care. And it is the responsibility of the king to do this. So the principle that we are learning is, Rupa Goswami demonstrated. Rupa Goswami, by his action, shown that if you earn money, you give in charity. Lakshmi not utilized in Narayana's service is a cause of our entanglement. Lakshmi should be serving Narayana. Lakshmi should be utilized for Narayana's service. Then Lakshmi is not chanchala. If you are using Lakshmi not for Narayana, that Lakshmi will be cause of your anxiety. This is Lakshmi's curse. If somebody is enjoying her resources without utilizing in Krishna's service, she'll be the cause of anxiety to people. So the third principle that we are learning is, we need to learn to give charity. And the sense of charity should be taught from a very, very young age. That is why in Gurukula system, the Shishya is supposed to go and beg alms, give them into the spiritual master, and when spiritual master allows the disciple to eat, then only the disciple is supposed to eat. It is a duty. If you tell anybody, they'll say it's not practically possible. Oh, these are all some old school thoughts. These are all some cruel things. These are all some rude things. But they were all existing, and the society was much happy, healthy, intelligent, and successful compared to what the current society that we are heading up to. If every day there are some massacres, or shootouts, or drugs, or porn, or this, or that, we are getting into a negative spiral. So the principle of charity should be inculcated. So that is why we need to, whenever we go to Dham, whenever we go to, you know, some holy places, we need to give a lot of charity. We need to give charity to cows, we need to give charity for taking care of the deities. Sometimes devotees complain that people are, swindling from us, people are threatening us. So there are definitely people who are in the garb of a brahmana, who are trying to chastise, or who are trying to take undue advantage of their caste. But at least the principle of charity should not be killed just because of wrong elements. Principle of charity should be kept alive, and that is how a society's ecosystem is very well maintained. In those days, Ramanujacharya and various other acharyas, when they used to travel, they never used to have a problem of where will I stay, where will I eat, and what will I do. They used to just go out on day by day to different places to preach, and they go, everybody will be eager to, you know, host them, feed them, and whomever, you know, whosoever house they are staying, they get a special blessings from the visiting sannyasi, and then they keep moving. So the third principle that we learn is, in our financial planning, charity is an integral part. Over here, Rupa Goswami is telling 50%, but at least let's have the component of charity in our financial planning. And this should be regular, and this is a need and must for every earning member of Varnashrama system. So this is the third lesson that we learn. The last lesson that we learn in this particular series is that Rupa Goswami also made sure that when Sanatana Goswami was going to retire, so he made a necessary arrangement not only for his agenda to go out and join Mahaprabhu, he also made necessary arrangement for his brother to eventually join this Krishna consciousness program. So Sanatana Goswami, whilst he wanted to move on, so now let us switch from Rupa Goswami to Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami also tried to, you know, leave in a very graceful way, but then Nawab Hussain Shah wouldn't allow. He said that, I cannot spare you. So initially Sanatana Goswami tried to take leave, sick leave, stay at home, read Krishna Katha, read Srimad Bhagavatam. In the very next verse, you are going to read them. 19.17 in Madhya Leela, Prabhupada very nicely gives the first class purport. He says how Sanatana Goswami was giving so much importance to Bhagavata Vichar, discussing and, talking about Srimad Bhagavatam, and that was his priority. So Sanatana Goswami tried and pursued the normal way by which he can, wind up his responsibilities, but for some reason Nawab Hussain Shah wouldn't allow, and he imprisoned him. He imprisoned Sanatana Goswami in the jail and made him work, not because he did a mistake, just because he didn't want to spare him, he didn't want to leave him. And that's when the second set of activities of a Vaishnava, first set of activities is like how Rupa Goswami did plan to settle up all your duties in such a way that you can take up Krishna Kant service very nicely. So Sanatana Goswami is teaching another set of lessons, which we will speak maybe in the future classes, how Sanatana Goswami decided to leave the place and, further go on. But then the fourth lesson that I want to say is, All these three things are meaningful only when the fourth thing is done, which is called Bhagavata Vichare. You are trying to develop eagerness and enthusiasm. We are developing an attitude of how to implement that enthusiasm in life by moving from good to great, by making this good service to somebody is great, and making sure that we try to do the service in a very organized and systematic manner, and also we try to do in charity. All these three things will be called philanthropy if the fourth principle is not being understood, which is Bhagavata Vichare. The purpose of doing all these things is to read, understand, enjoy and participate in Srimad Bhagavatam and preaching of Srimad Bhagavatam and dwelling on Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is the reason for which we are doing all these things. Or all these things are supposed to be helping for us to read Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very important point, and I'll finish with this point, that many times in our Krishna consciousness movement, we begin with an understanding that I'm supposed to be doing, reading Srimad Bhagavatam and serving Bhagavatas. But in the process, we get carried away with an external things and forget the purpose for which we began. We must be beginning to quit our job for reading Srimad Bhagavatam. We might be dwelling ourselves in some service for reading Srimad Bhagavatam. But eventually, if we do not get attached to Srimad Bhagavatam, we get attached to position, we get attached to name, we get attached to fame, we get attached to followers, then the purpose for which we are doing this charity, purpose for which we got enthusiastic, they all simply become futile. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, in his last stage, he very strictly condemned that I have got so many properties now, I wish I sell all these properties because you guys are fighting for the position and name and fame. I would rather sell all these properties to distribute books and, you know, win more souls rather than having this marble building. So, the fourth principle is Bhagavata Vichare, which Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami are interested in. So in our life, all our endeavor for doing charity, our enthusiasm, our implementation of enthusiasm should be directed towards Bhagavata Vichare. It's a very famous story of a Brahmana who had a spiritual master. The spiritual master told him to read regularly Bhagavad Gita. The spiritual master told him, said that I will come back from our Tirtha Yatra. By then you should, you know, finish reading Bhagavad Gita, regularly read Bhagavad Gita. And this Brahmana, when he sat reading Bhagavad Gita, he had only two sets of cloth. One for wearing, one for, you know, drying. And he used to wear a simple, you know, coffin. And this is a very famous story, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj says, right? Where one coffin is being eaten by a rat, this Brahmana got so much concerned. So he thought, to shoo away the rat, I will buy a cat. And I thought, if I have a cat, rat would not eat my cloth, so I can focus on reading Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Then he couldn't maintain the cat because he needed to give him milk, so he had to go and fetch milk. And so he thought, I'll have a cow. Then somebody needs to take care of the cow. Then he got married. Then so he kept on adding one responsibility to himself in the name of reading Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And finally, he did not read Bhagavad Gita. He became a grahastha with kids and cows and other things. And spiritual master came back and asked him, he said, my dear Gurudev, I still want to read Bhagavad Gita, but this all I got carried away. In our own life also, if we are not being focused for Bhagavata Vichare, we may, in the name of charity, we will do sense gratification. In the name of enthusiasm, we will do sense gratification. And in the name of implementation of enthusiasm, we will do sense gratification. And we will not go back home, back to Godhead. Only when we have Bhagavata Vichare, we have discussion, questions, and deeply dwelling in Srimad Bhagavatam, our spiritual life, our spiritual paradigm will expand. So it is important. From this 11 verses, we learn 4 lessons. And these 4 lessons are imperative and very sequential in our journey of Krishna consciousness, with seed being our purpose of Krishna consciousness is for Bhagavata Vichare. And this Bhagavata Vichare can happen when we do charity to Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and take care of cows and preaching programs. Number 2, we try to do enthusiastic and eager enough. And number 3, we discussed about how to implement them. When we do good to great, we make sure that we take care of settling things in terms of our conditional responsibility and constitutional responsibility, and how much effort we need to give in maintaining this body vis-a-vis our spiritual aspects. So with this, I end here. If there are any questions or comments, we can discuss. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Any questions or comments, we can discuss.
Hare Krishna Prabhupada, Pranam Sankavi Srila Prabhupada. Very beautiful class, very inspirational class. I really liked the point you were talking about, conditional and constitutional responsibility. It made so much sense to me. Thank you so much for this very beautiful class. And the story of Purandara Dasa and the importance of reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Very, very nice, Prabhu. We are so blessed to have your class on this call. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a wonderful class. Prabhuji, I have one question. Sometimes what happens, our parents are dependent on us. So we are sending money to them. So, and they are giving in charity. Something like some money they give to charity, some devotees come to our place or they serve in the temple. Here we are living in US, sometimes it becomes very difficult for us to give something for charity here. So where should we give charity? I want to ask, here we are taking services from the temple and we are not giving anything here, but we are giving something in charity in our hometown. So is it right, or we should give something here also?
Okay, it's a very interesting and important question. Charity should be given in the place of our residence, or charity should be given to our hometown. I'll tell you a principle behind charity. If you give a charity and if you have any of your tag attached to it, then it is not charity in the mode of goodness. In 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna very nicely explains charity in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance. So it is extremely important that when you give charity, what do you think? I used to always give this example. Many times, forget about charity, we'll come to that part, but we are doing devotion service. Sometimes people do garland service. Sometimes people do DT dress stitching service. Sometimes people do, hair service, jewelry service. So when you make jewelry and put it on the Lord, when you see the Lord, what do you see? You see the garland that Lord is saying, I made it. You see the jewelry, I made it. You see the dress Lord is wearing, I made it. If you see yourself in Lord, in terms of, he is wearing my jewelry, he is wearing my dress, he is wearing my garland, then this is an adulterated service. That's why it's called Mishra Bhakti. This is not bad, but this is not good, extremely good, also an ideal state as well. So charity, if it is done with some motives or with some tags attached, some strings attached. I heard a story from Mahabharata. I'm not sure if it is right or wrong, or if it's authentic or not, but let us hypothetically agree, or maybe, this was a comparison between Karna and Arjuna. So it was said that somebody gave both Arjuna and Karna equal amount of wealth and say, please go and give in charity. So Arjuna went to a particular place and he made sure that every single amount of money that he is giving or giving away, he is done in a very systematic way. He made sure that who is giving, how much he is giving, so many things. So then he took a long time. He almost took 1 week to come back. So then the next is Karna was sent, and he just came back in 5 minutes. So everybody asked that, how come Karna, you came back in 5 minutes? He said that I gave the whole money that was given to me to give in charity. I gave it to a person who is responsible enough and told him, you distribute in a very nice organized manner and see to that it is done for important cause, and I came back. So, we can always argue on every aspect of it, but the principle that was you know, told to me or whoever told me this was that at some point in time, Arjuna thought, remove the word Arjuna or Karna because I'm not sure about the authenticity of the story. But the point is, the principle here is, if you think I am doing charity, if the word I, if I am the involver, and if you think this is my money, I'm giving it to somebody, this is called charity, not in the mode of goodness. So what we are trying to understand here is, when Rupa Goswami gave it away, he did not give it away thinking that it is his money. He thought, he understood that it is a duty, it is need, and it is an important responsibility in the Varnashrama system that Brahmanas and Vaishnavas and cows are supposed to be taken care. So he gave it. No repentance and complete bliss. He did it as a part of duty rather than part of just a devotional need. So when we say whether it is my hometown or a local yatra, practically speaking, we are supposed to be doing charity wherever Krishna's names are glorified, whether it is hometown or, you know, your local yatra, without any strings attached. You don't even need to know, you don't even need to connect. This is my village, you know, I am giving it because in my village, I will have a tag attached to it. The second aspect of it is that it is always important, the local yatra are always very nicely maintained, because the local yatra is dependent on the local devotees. You can always go and maintain from various other places, but if everybody local yatra is going to pay for somewhere else, so some program is going to get affected. So Prabhupada always encouraged the devotees living around the temple, around a particular temple, should contribute both physically as well as financially for the local yatra, very importantly. Over and above that, you give it to dham, you give it to other places, cows and hometowns, all fine. The local yatras are definitely need to be taken care. Otherwise, it will become a very imbalance. If everybody starts thinking that I will give to some other place, it will become imbalance. So it is a two-sided sword where you need to serve charity without any strings attached. So wherever you do, that's fine. Having said that, not contributing to the local yatra also is not so good. So you definitely need to give the local yatra from a very practical and important support so that the local yatra is also stable and maintained. I'm not sure if I'm making sense.
Yes, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Yeah, I got the answer. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's very much important. Yeah, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I just wanted to make sure that I understood your good to great principle, which I understood to be that we do have to take care of ourselves and our family and our duties, our normal duties, but and we should take care of them nicely, but ultimately we should also be looking to do that in support of trying to give Krishna consciousness to others.
Okay, basically good to great principle is coming from three dimensions. Number one, we need to make sure that in our journey of Krishna consciousness, we don't just stay complacent in our good service and not focus on trying to grow from there. At every point in time, we need to constantly check, am I doing best for Krishna? Am I raising my bar up from what I am now? This is a duty because ultimately 100% of your time should be given to Krishna, and that is where our target is. Today we are not. So that's the first thing for good to great. Why every time we need to constantly thinking, am I doing great service to Krishna? Meaning, am I going out of my comfort zone to serve the Supreme Lord and His Vaishnavas? Or am I operating on my comfort zone? There is nothing called right and wrong, but this is called stages. Uttamadhikari is the one who operates on absolute comfort zone for the comfort of the Supreme Lord. And in the process of serving the Supreme Lord, if he gets into a discomfort, it doesn't bother him because he is in a comfortable zone to comfortably serve the Supreme Lord, the Uttamadhikari. So that's a great service. So when we say good to great, every individual sadhaka should have their own milestone goals in such a way. Am I doing service, operating within my comfort zone or beyond it? And it's nice to raise our bar up and always keep a milestone which is beyond us. Not from the perspective of unachievable, but something that we can slowly increase our commitment to the Supreme Lord. So that today 1 hour to Krishna, tomorrow we may do, you know, more time to Krishna. The second aspect of good to great is that by you doing good to great, your good will be great for somebody else. So it is a legacy as well as inspiration for practicing devotees. So if I don't relinquish my service and take up some higher service, I will always have a situation where I will get complacent and not inspire others to take up Krishna consciousness. So the second reason why good to great is needed is Prabhupada always wanted his devotees to go up in the ladder so that others can take up Krishna consciousness more actively. And the last and most important thing why we good to great thinking is important is, if you don't have the thinking of good to great, we are going to be falling down in our spiritual life, because stagnancy in Krishna consciousness is a sign of beginning of fall down. If I am stagnant in one place, you know what, Prabhuji? There are two things. One is nishtha and second is called stagnancy. Nishtha means fixation, fixed in devotional life. That's called routine. That is a very nice disciplined way of life that may be compared to stagnancy, but that is not stagnancy. And stagnancy, I mean, I don't make a progress and I don't have any further thing to do in Krishna consciousness, and I'm stuck in a place. So stagnancy and not making movement, progress in Krishna consciousness is actually contributing detrimentally to somebody's devotional life. Hence this mentality of good to great is important. Otherwise, I'll be a daydreamer. I'm only an enthusiast. I'm only an eager devotee and does not put in any endeavor to implement them. I'm just a daydreamer. So hence the third reason for good to great is that we need to definitely get into action to avoid our stagnancy. Am I making sense?
Yes, very much so. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Okay, anything else to discuss?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanu
yes.
Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Ram Girdhari, Prabhuji. Very nice chat. I have a question.
Sure.
You know, you suggested that we should give a charity to Brahmanas.
Yep.
Especially those who are engaged in serving the Lord in ISKCON, they are Brahmanas, right?
Yes.
Those who go to the altar and they are doing great services to the Lord, so they are Brahmanas. So, we give it to them, you know, sometimes they have a need. And they need for their personal, maybe family life also. So is it okay to give charity to help someone, you know, take care of their personal need, not necessarily
absolutely.
For the Lord.
See, I'll tell you, charity to do a Brahmana, let me clarify your first point. So charity to a Brahmana is not from the perspective of pujaris are not Brahmanas alone. Brahmanas are those who are, the characteristics of Brahmana, Bhagavad Gita says, patan, patan, yajan, yajan, dhana, pratigraha. So those who are doing this thing, six things, patan means one is learned, patan means one who is teaching, yajan means one who is performing this yajna, yajan means one who is making others doing yajna. And one who is receiving charity and one who is also giving in charity. There are five things which spread without any additional endeavor. Jale tailam, oil in water. If you pour one drop of oil in water, it will spread on its own. You don't need to put any endeavor. Kale guhyam, if you tell a secret to a crooked person, he will spread it. He will not keep it a secret. Patre dhanam, if you give charity to the right person, the nature of the right person is that he doesn't keep it himself, he distributes it. Shastre Jnanam. If you give right set of Shastra to a good soul, he will not keep it within himself and he will distribute others. Manat Gapi. The thoughts in the mind, it just naturally spreads, it doesn't stay. These five things, in this, if you see these two things, Patre Dhanam and Shastre Jnanam, these two things are, if you give charity to the right person, he will not consume it for himself, he will give it away. Now coming back to your second point, even if it means to consuming it for himself, that's absolutely needed because you are giving for him. The purpose of you giving charity to that person is so that he can very nicely, comfortably take care of him. And trust me, the most intelligent and qualified Brahmana is the one who accepts only what is needed. Beyond that, he will either not take it or take it and distribute it. A Brahmana is never a one who acquires, amass and keep it himself for, you know, struggling condition, because that's not the definition of a Brahmana. So if you give to a right Brahmana, even if suppose if you give him two times more than what he required, he will naturally consume what is to be needed and remaining thing you distribute, because he is completely dependent on the Supreme Lord. I'll just end with a very nice story from the Journey Home book of Radhanath Swami Maharaj. It's a very interesting, I'm sure all of you must have read it. So this was in Pakistan border. Radhanath Maharaj had been traveling all over walking and finally reached Pakistan. So Pakistan border, he had hardly, you know, few cents left with him. He didn't have any money and practically he wanted to, you know, come to India in search of his spiritual quest. So when he was in the border, he didn't have a visa, he didn't have money to pay the visa or whatever the situation was. He pleaded the, you know, border officers, please let me in. And those officers, you know, looking Maharaj in a very matted hair and not so, you know, cleanly dressed. So he thought he was a beggar and he was just some poor guy, and he said that, no, we will not let you in. Already our country has got a lot of poor people and we have a lot of immigrants who are coming and draining our country's resources, so don't come in. So they kind of shooed him away. He kept on, you know, waiting, 3 days, 2 days, and finally one day, he met a, you know, officer, and he told this officer, please let me in. I will assure you that I will do something back for your, you know, countrymen. So I don't remember, I'm just paraphrasing what I remember. Maybe others can fill in. So somehow that officer felt, you know, moved, and he let Radhanath Maharaj come in. And he said, when I came inside your country, I was not welcomed in terms of nobody wanted me, but still somehow by good heart of somebody, I was brought into the country and I made him a commitment that I will do something for the countrymen. And I met Srila Prabhupada, and when I met Srila Prabhupada, my whole life got changed and I am doing some, you know, preaching in India in a significant way. And because of the preaching, he was invited by the president of the country, Pratipa Patil. So she invited him for a feast in the Rashtrapati Bhavan in New Delhi. And in the Rashtrapati Bhavan, she was welcoming His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj with the red carpet treatment. She came to the gate with Purna Kumbha to receive, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. So then he was sharing, when I was coming in the country, I didn't have one single rupee in my hand. I was not welcomed. And now, when I am invited by the president of the country, I still don't have one rupee in my bank account. I don't have any. I'm the same single simple beggar. But the biggest difference is, at that time I didn't have Srila Prabhupada. Now I have Srila Prabhupada. Because of the Srila Prabhupada's mercy, so many people have taken up Krishna consciousness movement. Even though still I am a beggar or still I don't have any money, I have a lot of resources to be utilized in Srila Prabhupada's preaching movement. That is the power of, surrendering to the Supreme Lord and surrendering to the spiritual master. The point that I want to drive is, if a right person is given proper knowledge, he does not keep anything with himself. Like Maharaj is saying, I am still a beggar. I still don't have a bank balance. I still have only 2 pieces of cloth. The same I had in the other time. But the difference is, I am surrendered to a bona fide spiritual master. So our charity should be done from the context of, even if you want to maintain them, he will maintain himself, needed for himself for maintenance, and rest everything he engages in the preaching movement. So look at what Krishna is giving him now. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people are, you know, supporting him financially, emotionally, physically, you know, volunteering, and he is engaging in Srila Prabhupada's service. That is the real charity that we should, you know, be doing. So in our own limited capacity, we should definitely engage our propensity to enjoy to by giving charity and taking care of others so that they can do nice devotional service. Am I making sense?
Yes, Prabhuji, very nice explanation. Thank you
so much.
Hare Krishna. Oh, Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Just one last thing about this charity. You had said earlier that, you know, we should not think that if you're giving donations that it is we who are doing, or, you know, if we make clothes for the deities, it's not, we should not have that mentality, oh, look at what I made, right?
Right.
Because that's that's the mode of passion, right? Because you want, that shows that you want admiration for what you did, you know?
So basically if somebody does it, it is still considered as a charity, but not in the mode of goodness.
Yeah, the mentality of the one in goodness, how does he think?
He thinks that this is, Krishna has given me these resources. I am always a caretaker. He is never bothered when the money is taken away. He is never rejoicing when money is given to him. He is always equipoised. When Lord Ram was told that tomorrow is your coronation ceremony, and the next day when Dasharatha told, tomorrow you have to go to forest for 14 days, in Valmiki is explaining, I'm sure Preeti Vilasini Mataji will be able to explain it much nicely than me, that the facial expression of Lord Ram did not change. He had a similar same expression because he was not perturbed, because he is not carried away by the rejoicing situation or the sorrow situation, because they are beyond duality. So a good practitioner or a person in the mode of goodness should operate, or a person beyond the mode of goodness should operate, that he thinks that whatever resources that I am having today is given to me by the Supreme Lord because of my past as well as because of my present. I am just caretaker of Krishna's resources. I can neither renounce them nor enjoy them.
Yeah, and that includes whatever talent that you have to be able to do any particular, like sewing clothes or cooking. It's not that you own those talents, right? Is Krishna?
No, it's all given to you by the Supreme Lord. Krishna says in 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 15th shloka, Mattaha smriti jnanam apohanamscha. From me comes knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. So who is giving you knowledge? Krishna is giving you knowledge. Who is giving you forgetfulness? Krishna is giving you forgetfulness. Who is giving you remembrance? Krishna is giving you remembrance. So we are just a puppet. We are, I'm fine. Krishna has given you something. You are like a machine. You are powered. But you are powered from a powerhouse. If the fan or a tube light or an air conditioner or a refrigerator starts thinking, I'm such an intelligent machine, what if the power is pulled off? The value of the machine is useless. The value of the machine is so nice only when it is connected to the power source. Gauranga Prabhu used to give a very, very good example. The hair in our body, I think last week I mentioned, the hair attached to our body is an object of beauty only when the hair is connected to the body. You comb your hair, you dress up nicely, you change it. The moment the hair is plucked out, the same thing what used to be contributing to your beauty is contributing to your dirty. That hair that is removed from our body. So in our life, anything that we do, disconnecting from Krishna, thinking it is mine, then it is gone. It's a object for entanglement. Anything that you say in connection with Krishna, even if it is Mishra, that's fine. But over a period of time, we should get rid of that also.
Okay. Yes, thank you so much.
I think we should stop. We are really overshot by half an hour. Thank you so much. And tomorrow I'm leaving to Vrindavan for a two-day Yatra. I think this week, Preeti Vilasini Mataji asked me to swap from Wednesday to Tuesday. I thought, no, why this is happening? But now I'm realizing suddenly this plan came up today and I have to leave to Vrindavan tomorrow to seek everybody's blessing so that I could go and take some association of Dham in the right mood and, you know, transform my dirty consciousness and do something useful to Krishna. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you so much. And please pray for us while you're on the Dham. Wish you a very blessed Prabhu, just one more question. Sorry.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Yeah.
So about giving and donation, I had this question. It's a tricky situation. There is a, like you say, a temple, okay, which is doing, which is that kind of not doing very well, and devotees are giving in donations, okay. But at the same time, everyone wants to help. Everyone is giving in donation because the deities have to be taken care of, and of course, there is so much needs in the temple. There are so many brahmacharis in the temple. So everyone has to be taken care of. Now, the thing is, in the same place, there is some mishandling of money. Okay, so my question here is, there are some people who say then if they are not dealing with the money properly, you should not encourage that, like, stop giving. But from my point of view, it's more like, but the deities need the money, right? Like, you need proper Lakshmi to run a temple. So even if it is being misappropriated here and there, it is okay. So just tell me, what is the correct understanding, like how to deal with that, the correct understanding?
Okay, the situation has been dealt by Prabhupada sometime. But anyway, I'll just give an straight answers. That number one, when we are giving charity, especially to a situation, we just give charity for our purification. Of course, we need to make sure that it is used for the right cause. But we also need to know that beyond a point in time, we don't have control over how it is going to be utilized. So, for example, I give my money to a particular dham or particular ISKCON temple. I'm not sure, you cannot make sure. Or if somebody starts saying, okay, you see, Prabhuji, I'm giving you $100, you tell me where you're going to utilize, see that it is utilized, and make sure that you give the, returns and show me. I don't know if that's needed to be done when you're doing charity. Now, if you are taking a responsibility, so there are two aspects to it. As a strict practitioner of this movement, when you are wearing a charity hat, see which service, where there's a need, where you have a connect, and where you will be able to relish that charity without any, because we are also purifying our anarthas. If you are not in such a state that I am giving with a complete detachment, I am also having some attachment, some motive, may not be ulterior, but some motive. So when we do this service, we need to see, am I giving to a relevant source, to a right cause, and that much, and finish it off, and don't take it beyond any point in time. Just don't extrapolate it to see that where is till the end it is happening. This is one aspect of it, our charity part is done. Now the second part is, as a dutiful member of this movement, we need to see within our circle of influence, see to that whatever charity we receive are utilized in a very proper, appropriate way to the nth level of clarity, so that we inspire 10 other souls to give more charity. What predicament we are facing, we should not let 10 more people to face that predicament. So we have dual responsibility. One is, when I am giving charity, I knew that probably it might not be a perfect entire process that it will follow through, and I understand it, but still the movement has to go on. I support this. It is like your family. I earn money and give it to my wife. I want my wife to spend in a particular way. But I also know, or I may know, my children or my family members might recklessly spend them, for which I do not want them to utilize therefore. But that doesn't mean that I stop paying money to my family members. So ISKCON is our family. So hence, it is our duty to support it, even though we know there are some leakages. On the other side, as a family member, I also put in a process, I also put in an education system in such a way that I fix it so that others don't face similar situations. So both are simultaneously to be taken care. That's my understanding.
Yes, Prabhu, I get it. I understand. Yes. Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for that.
Hare Krishna.
Very Hare Krishna.
Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.
Thank you all. Thank you for joining for the very beautiful discussion. You can end the call. Anyone else has anything to say? Okay. Thank you all so much again. We'll end the call now. Wish you
thank all. You, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupad ki jai, His great Ram Giridhari Prabhu ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for arranging such beautiful class. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.